Big Red Vent. Game on. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.
The Joanna Reardon Podcast. A Big Red Bench production for Cork's Red FM.
Welcome back to the Joanna Reardon Podcast, where we interview silver medalist Niamh McCarthy. In this part, Niamh McCarthy talks about what it was like after she won the silver medal in the Rio Paralympics. Tune in and listen in to see what Niamh McCarthy had to say, how she coped with being with her newfound fame, and everything else in between.
As it was, then you came back and you won silver at the Paralympics, and like you came back to like pretty much like a hero's reception. Like, I mean, like to a certain degree, like people in Cork were buzzing for you. Like, I don't know, like Cork just seemed to like rally around their own when they feel no one else is rallying around them. But like you were, I remember like seeing you absolutely everywhere, and I remember people were asking me like, "Oh, do you like hang out with her now?" And I'm like, "What?" Because we're like both disabled, like my little disabled friend, you know.
Yeah, no, it was mad. Like I remember, like getting off the flight, again, like 20 something hours of travel, there's pictures, and I'm like, don't take a picture of me, please.
The eyeliner,
I was destroyed, like. But it was mad, and I did like loads of school visits and stuff in Carrigaline when I got back, because like everybody kind of wanted a piece, I suppose, and you kind of have to play along with that,
yeah,
because that's just expected. And like I remember when I was organising the school visits, I think there's like 11 schools in Carrigaline or something, between like kind of, you know, primary, secondary and all that. And I was like, look, I'm going to be efficient with this, because I'm efficient at like anything I can be in life. And I did like 9 school visits in a day. Like I had someone help me and like literally just whisk me in, whisk me out, talk to everyone and just get it done. Because to be honest, when you come back from something like that, it really, you're like just exhausted. And like, I won't lie, like that month after, I didn't really leave the house unless I had to go to some PR event.
Yeah.
I wasn't eating breakfast. I was getting like takeout like every day. And it was just like, I was just like in a little cave until I had to like put the green jersey on and, smile and wave and stuff.
I always like feel like that no one ever talks about like that come down, like Olympic and Paralympic, like even from any major tournament. Like people don't like talk about it often. Like, and I remember in America, they did like a study, and apparently like 60% of the athletes that come back actually have like breakdowns, because they either win a medal and can't cope because they're everywhere, or they don't do what they want, what they think they should have done. And then they have a breakdown, because they're like, oh, missed opportunity. And it's obviously every 4 years or so.
It definitely hit me, to be honest. And like we'd kind of had a few workshops like with like, you know, what to expect in Rio, what to expect after, so I kind of knew something was kind of potentially coming. And you know what, to be honest, I just indulged it, you know. Like I really did just kind of do what I wanted for the month, because I wasn't working at the time, so nobody was waiting for me to come back, thank god. But it's pretty tough, to be honest, because like you're literally, you spend years of your life towards this one event, and all of a sudden it's done, and it's like, sure, we'll see in a few months, you know. And it's like, oh, what do I do now?
Yeah, because even the hockey girls were saying it, like once they came back with their silver medal, like they were out to like loads of different functions, and like they hadn't been in that level before, and like, you know, things like training would have been slacking, you know. And it's not that, as they said, it's not by choice, like we're not going to training, it's just we don't have time now, and we're working, you know, we have to go out to all these events, and you can't say no because you feel responsible, you know, to inspire next generation, things like that. Like, was that a pressure for you? Especially then, like, because you were inspiring at even like different group entirely, like you were inspiring people with disabilities and things like that.
Yeah, like it's kind of difficult, because like I do get requests like here and there, but I can't say no, or I can't say yes to everything, because like most of the time when I get these requests, I'm in the middle of training, and like, yeah, like now that I work and everything, like my time is kind of pretty limited, and I feel really bad sometimes saying no to stuff. But like, I suppose it's the ones that are kind of important to me, like anything in Carrigaline. No, disclaimer, there's, you know, T&Cs with this. Pretty much everything in Carrigaline I'll usually agree to, but like I've gotten requests for like to go up to like fucking Sligo and Longford and stuff like this. And I'm like, lads, no. I've done Skype stuff for those instead, so it's grand. But I want to do my bit, but at the same time, if you do too much of that, I think it
wears you down.
There's a kind of balance to be found there. So it's, I'm learning that. And
My best / worst event of like all time was in Leitrim. I don't know if you know this, they do a silage festival. Oh, so they basically make like bales of silage, and this is clear city versus county here. They like make it into things. So like one was like a Henry Hoover, the other was like Superman. And 1 year they had one of me. Like bizarrely, so I was like in like made of like bales of hay, like all stacked together, and they had like the wheels and everything. And of course, like as I said to my dad, like how could I possibly have said no when all that effort was put in? Yeah. But like here I am, 8 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday, getting into the car, driving up to Leitrim. Like there comes a time where you have to be like stop. Like, yeah. just like, no, please.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
honestly. That sounds like a good crack, to be honest. I wouldn't mind being made outside.
If any Leitrim people are listening for the Silent Festival, yeah, Niamh McCarthy, will be there. It's a good night, I'm not going to lie. But if you're into like country music, I'm not. My mother is. I think we heard Mike Denver about 600 times. And I was like, Jesus, lads. Was there any like kind of like camp like tunes? Like, were you like 2016? Did you have anything? Pump up.
Not to, no. Like, yeah, me and Orla were roomies. And like, we used to, there was some playlist out on Spotify at the time. And now, you know, like, sometimes they update playlists, but there was like an Ellie Goulding song and something else. I can't remember what they are now, but like, we used to play Ellie Goulding like first thing in the morning. I would just be like, hi, Ellie. And that, and like, that was the only kind of one that like we kind of associate. But yeah, there was nothing like kind of set up, but yeah, like there's some, I suppose, that kind of bring me back.
Definitely. I suppose we were saying earlier there about like lack of time. One thing you do have time for, and this is something I'm highly fascinated in, you're skydiving.
Yeah.
Like, what? Yeah.
Well, like, see, before I got involved in all the throwing stuff, I was in college, like I said, and when I went there, no, to be honest, I shouldn't have gone to college when I did. I should have given it a year, because I think in Ireland, everybody kind of gets looped into like just going into college straight after.
Yeah.
I think for some people, that's probably the right path, but for some, it probably isn't. And when I went there, like, everybody was like, oh, clubs and societies, like that's what make or break your kind of college, you know, years. And I was like, right, okay. And I was like, I'll pick kind of two kind of weirder ones, because like everybody kind of does the like, tennis or stuff like that. And like, no, if you like it, fair enough. But I just wanted to be a bit out there, I suppose. Mm. And I picked trampolining because I was like, who doesn't like a trampoline?
Yeah.
And then I saw skydiving and I was like, jeez, I have a club for that. And I'd always kind of wanted to do one. And my dad was going to like pay for me to do a tandem for my birthday, because I think, yeah, I was 17 when I started college as well, which is the other problem. But he was going to get me one for my 18th. And yeah, I found the club and they were like, yeah, you can do a solo for your first one if you want. It's slightly cheaper. And I was like, yep, sign me up. So I did it a couple months before I turned 18. But yeah, my first jump was a solo. And it was great crack. Like, honestly, it was really good because it's up in Offaly, the Irish Parachute Club. And like when you're up there, like, you know, it's a good 2-hour drive. So you end up staying the weekend.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's such a weird and wonderful place because everybody's like complete different walks of life. Like, you, like, I made friends there that, like, you know, are in their 50s or 60s, like a bit of everyone, like, and it was just kind of great social thing. And it was just nice to get away for the weekend as well, you know. And I just loved it, and just, it's been wonderful. And like, I think I'm up to about 15-20-ish jumps at this point.
What?
Yeah, I know. But I suppose it's slowed down a bit since I've started throwing and everything, because obviously I don't want to be jumping out playing the week before I've made a championship and I'm like, oops, my ankle hurts.
I swear, if Ireland ever hosts the Paralympics, right, you know what you need to do? You need to skydive in.
Just me, I'm on it.
Like, and do, like, you need to do what Daniel Craig did, like, as the fake queen. Yeah. That needs to be you. Like,
I really think that
I'm
needs
sure
to be
Paralympics
that.
Ireland will be like,
I should do it as Michael D.
Yes.
You know, he's not that tall, so like, people
we'll get
might
a wig and glasses on to you. Like, it'll be grand. Like, who will know?
I'd love it. Like, Paralympics aren't, like, they never told me I can't, but I'm kind of like, I know they don't want me to. So I usually, like, say I finished my Europeans in August. So as soon as August kind of finished, I was like, yeah, I have a few months now. So I went out to Spain in October, just big run, bunch of Irish skydivers. There was 30, 40, 50 of us. I don't even know. And yeah, like I've been there 2 years in a row now. It's great crack. But yeah, I kind of stay away from it kind of once January rolls around, because just in case, like, I mean, injuries in skydiving are not extremely common, but you know,
yeah.
And like people expect, like, if you do something wrong at skydiving, you're dead. And there's no other option. That's not usually the case. It's pretty highly regulated, but
I heard a guy basically saying the worst injury he had was he rolled his ankle because like just the landing.
Yeah, like, and I have a friend, he was like, he was on a like slightly smaller parachute, so when you come into land, it's a bit quicker. And he landed fine, but he was kind of running out because, like, you know, it just came in at a bit of speed. And he tripped while he was running and broke his ankle. So, like, technically, the skydiving bit didn't actually hurt him because he was already on the ground. No, I stay away when I can, just to, you know, out of respect, I suppose. But yeah. It's still something I like to do every so often.
There's a New Zealander, isn't there, in Paralympics, and he's also a skydiver.
Yeah, no, he's actually, I don't think he's involved anymore, Liam. I've actually spoken to him about it because I wanted to, like, do a jump with him when we were over in Rio or anywhere, just because I was like, that'd be cool. That must be some kind of record, like,
yeah,
you know?
And also, like, the views.
Yeah, oh yeah, like, it's, no, I love the sport, to be honest. It's been great, but yeah, I can't put as much time as I'd like to, but
I suppose, well, like, the weird thing is that, like, you're coming off like such a high maybe for your throwing, that, like, to go into the sky, like, it's just you. obviously, like, the person behind you, but like, it's just, you know, like, it's just you. It's fairly like, must be like kind of somber.
Like I actually compare it to throwing in some ways, because like when I'm like in the disco circle ready to throw, I'm not thinking about like anything else, you know, like, it doesn't matter. Whatever's happening, like, is fine, you know. And it's kind of the same with skydiving, because when you're coming down to earth, literally, it doesn't matter what else is going on in your life, you know, like, oh, jeez, left immersion on, like, none of that, like, you know. So it's kind of similar in that way, because you're just completely kind of in the moment and you can just kind of ignore like every responsibility you've ever had. So no, it's mad, like, but you know, you can have great fun, because like, I do a lot of solos sometimes, because I'm like, because I'm kind of out of the, I'm not excessively current in the sport, I kind of take things really safely. But yeah, when you do like group jumps, like, it's they're great crack.
Some buzz, like, some adrenaline rush. Yeah. Is it like the same as winning a medal or somewhere close?
It was different. Winning a medal means so much more, just because of the time you put in. Like, you know, coming down from a jump, you've only put in like maybe 20 minutes.
<you know? laughs> 20 seconds jump. Boop.
Yeah, like, but it's still, you know, it's still something that I love to do, and I'll do for as long as I can, I suppose.
One of the other things as well, which I found hugely interesting, you so 2018 was a massive year for women in sport. That was when I first got the job with the Irish Times to write about women in sport, and I remember we were all like launching in 20 by 20, it happened and everything was great, and then there was like a little bit of a blip, and something that caught my attention was the Europeans were on for ye, and you were in Berlin and no one had sent out any reporter, and your Instagram was like so fun. Like, it wasn't funny, but it was funny because you were just like, hey, this is Niamh McCarthy, roaming reporter. It felt like something you'd see on like a really like low down local radio, but it was like, the point you were making was that like, this is how easy it is to do it to a certain degree. Why haven't you done it? Were you like, you were obviously annoyed, but was everyone looking at you going, ah, Niamh, calm down, like, we're used to it? But were you like, no, like, this can't be like this, like,
it's like, to us, it's not something I'd plan to do. Like, so like when I was in Rio, like, you know, everybody, I was getting messages like, what are you up to? And I put up like one picture a day, and I'm like, that's your limit, you know? that's your info. But for Berlin, to us, I went in like a really crap mood. I was just, because I knew I was lost, and I was just like, oh god, this is going to be a drag now. And I was going to do something, and I was like, you know, I actually can't be arsed. Like, I don't want to, I'm not in the mood. But then, like, because obviously I was, like, following, like, the able-bodied team over there, Europeans, and, you know, that was great. And then, like, ours was on, and I'm like, where are all the articles saying, like, you know, that we've flown out with the timetable, all of this? And I'm like, my curse. Like, how dare you? And I'm like, fine, I'll do that. Yeah. So, yeah, I just literally just decided on a whim. I was like, you know what? I'll do it. If nobody else is going to do it, I'll do it. So it was kind of a bit of a dig, I suppose, because, like, you know, like the able-bodied, like, you kind of can't get away from it when it's on, like, you know, you have hours and hours of footage on TV, like, and I was just really annoyed because I'm like, oh, I don't know how long, you know, how many years it takes for us to prove that, like, you know, we're a really strong team. Yeah. You know, we always have, you know, amazing athletes getting amazing results. And I was just like, sure, look, if you're not going to do it, I will. Yeah. And it was great fun. And to be honest, it was a really good distraction, because seeing as I had so much time to kill before I was on, you know, it got me out of the hotel, you know, and like going over to the other guys' competitions and kind of getting excited by it. So it was good. Like, nobody kind of was negative about it in any way. Like, but it's funny because, like, yeah, like, I did it because I was like, we need more media coverage. And in doing it, even though I was kind of not being rude, but I was kind of making a bit of a point, like, so many people,
you were like a parody media code. Like, it was hilarious.
No, like, I done a few interviews about it, and like, yeah, like, people always mention it now. So, like, but you know, it was good in so many ways, because not only were we actually getting coverage, because otherwise there wouldn't be any, like, you know, the other guys were getting loads of followers. So, like, you know, new athletes that were on the team, all of a sudden people were kind of hearing about them. So it was really good. But yeah, like, people kind of really kind of took it and ran with it then. But even like Paralympics Ireland, they were kind of saying, like, yeah, they were getting a lot of stuff saying, like, oh yeah, we'll do coverage. So it was, yeah, it worked out really well. It wasn't the plan. Like, I just kind of did it just for shits and giggles, I suppose. But
it was even like with the hockey thing, like when that happened, it was like so funny. We're all like kind of sitting in an office, and next thing, they were in the quarterfinals, and we were like, yeah, like, you know, it'll be over now, you know, like, come on. Semi-finals came, and we were like, Jesus, lads, we need to really like find someone. So like, I remember just like ring a journalist in London and be like, hey, can you just make it down to like this ground and things like that. But like, you know, the point that you were basically making was that, you know, Paralympics isn't, and I actually totally agree with that, it's not a hobby. And not to be like treating it like a hobby. And there's two, I always feel like there's two complete opposite like reactions. It's either like you're a superhero and you should make everyone feel so bad because they're doing nothing with their life, or else it's, look, this is only a hobby, like, don't waste your time on it. Is that like, do you find yourself stuck in between?
It's kind of, it's, yeah, can of worms there. But yeah, like, to be honest, the biggest problem I find is, like, you know, even with, say, like the Olympics versus the Paralympics coverage, like, there's so much and then we got so little. And I think it's just a massive pity that it's not being covered, because, yeah, like, people regard the kind of any Olympians like as, like, yeah, superheroes. But they don't necessarily see that in us for some reason, even though, yeah, like, we're kind of on the same schedule, we do the same amount of training. And I think, like, people can relate to us a lot more. Like, you know, the people watching these other superhumans, they don't relate to them, whereas they can kind of relate to us. Like, yeah, you know, like, oh, you know, your man with, you know, I know he's an amputee or whatever. And, like, I think people, they're much more inspired by Paralympic athletes than they might be Olympics, because they can just relate a bit more, because we're imperfect and most people don't consider themselves perfect, I suppose. But it's
something worse watching swimming and the tall 6 foot lad American jock, yeah, comes on, washboard body. Like, go away.
Yeah. Like,
they're eating like Doritos on the couch.
Yeah. It's kind of, yeah, I don't know. It's something I'm working on, but like everybody, I suppose, has a part to play in kind of trying to get that coverage. But yeah, the 2020 initiative will hopefully help us. Like, luckily, in Paralympic sport, it's actually really good. Like, the kind of gender kind of equality is, in terms of media coverage, is it good?
Yeah.
Because, like, yeah, I suppose we're, like, you know, females in Paralympics are, like, you know, double minority kind, yeah, of thing. But luckily, we're actually grand, because I suppose anyone covering the Paralympics, they don't really care, you know, if you're a girl or boy or whatever, you know, as long as you're kind of doing well.
It's the story that they're more interested,
yeah, exactly,
in, like, yeah.
You know, so, like, yeah, I'm lucky in that way, but it's still, yeah, kind of worms.
Yeah, it's, like, always really awkward. I'm always, like, wondering, like, does it annoy? Because, like, even with me, people come to me and they're like, oh, you're so inspiring, I wish I could be more like you. And I'm like, well, some days you probably don't. You know, like, let's not really open, yeah, that can of worms either, you know. But, you know, and I remember the, was it London or Rio? I can't remember which one of the two. I remember Channel 4 had the superhumans. So they had, like, the British fella, I can't even think of his name, and he had, like, an amputee. So he had his fake leg and he had, like, the British flag draped over him, but as a cape. And I remember, like, the whole thing was basically, like, based around, like, oh, like, if you even tried, you could be half as good as him. And I remember being like, you don't make anyone, like, feel bad. And then someone else came out there afterwards and he was like, it's not inspiration porn, was the word he used. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, I actually hate when people are like, oh, you're so inspiring. I'm like, I'm not calling it a job, but I'm just doing my job. Like,
you're just,
know,
doing you, like,
it's kind,
yeah,
of like, you know, I'm not trying to be anything for anyone. If you're inspired by me, fair enough. But, like, I kind of, sometimes I'm like, again, going back to, like, I'm not special, like, you know, I'm just kind of doing a sport and, you know, doing okay at it. You know, that's about it. But, you know, if you get a kick out of it, then great. But, yeah, like, I think it was the 2015 World Championships. The like, slogan for the event was, like, beyond inspiring or something. And everybody with my son, it was so bleh.
Was it like a collective groan?
No, like, everybody, we were just like, oh, God's sake, I need more of this crap. Because, like, you know, like, some people, like, you know, they're, you know, technically disabled, but they might just be, like, you know, a bit blind.
Yeah.
Like, they're not way out there, like, and it's just like, and people are like, oh, you're so inspiring. And they're like, you know, pretty much live my life just how you do. It's just slightly different.
And as well, like, in my head, I'm like, well, if you saw some of the other stuff that I had to do, like, you know, like, how hard it is for to get, like, a wheelchair taxi, you wouldn't be like, oh, I'd love to be you. So I'm like, yeah, oh, there are some days, let me tell you.
Yeah.
But I suppose, you know, to kind of wrap things up, there's, like, three things that I'm going to ask you for. So this year is obviously a big year for you personally, because you're qualifying for 2020, which is next year, which is Tokyo. So what do we have to look out specifically for you and your teammates?
So, well, yeah, I suppose this year's big one is, yeah, is the World Championships. I actually don't know how the qualification things are working for 2020.
They're changing things, aren't they?
I don't know. To be honest, like, I think because I'm kind of ranked, because your qualification always depends on where you stand versus third in the rankings. And because I'm second, people don't really just share that information with me, because it's, unless I have a really, really bad time for the next few months, it's relatively guaranteed. Like, so that's nice. But, yeah, no, the World Championships are, they're the last time I'm going to be competing against the girl I want to beat, I suppose. And they're in Dubai, so that'll be nice. I've never really been there. I mean, we did Qatar back in 2015, so it's similar, but not quite. But there's a lot of new people on the team and they're kind of, you know, really good. So it's actually a really busy year, because we have a few kind of international competitions. Yeah, we have a training camp next week. We'll have another one just before the World Championships. So it'll be a good year, but because it's so late, we're all kind of raging, to be honest, because it's, yeah, it's November, middle of November, which means when we're finished, usually you might get, like, maybe a month off, I suppose. We might get, like, 2 or 3 weeks, because Tokyo's going to be, like, around the corner.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a 2-year plan in a lot of our eyes, because there's not a lot of time in between. But yeah, like, Tokyo obviously is the big one, but we will have Europeans then next year to be announced. I still don't know when or where. But yeah, like, we're just all taking it one step at a time, I suppose. But yeah, like, it's just feels like it's like a year until the world's like it's not, you know, it's November, but it's still, I mean, maths isn't great, what, you know, good 6 months, so I'm not really even thinking about it right now. I'm still in winter training at the moment.
In my mind, yeah, no, when you're like November, I'm like, that's forever away. But like in sports in general, that flies. Like,
that's like it will fly, but yeah, right now, because they're like, when are you competing? I'm like, not for a while. Don't talk to me.
Yeah, didn't do a good interview about how great the Paralympics is. And I suppose for you, the big thing is like your expectations are very high on you. So like you're coming in different than 2016. Like there's a little bit of like, oh, Niamh McCarthy, potential medal hope here. Is that like, is that going to affect, not affect you, but like, are you a little bit like, let's all take a chill pill?
I don't really care what they expect of me. I've always kind of gone by my own kind of ambition, I suppose. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to, you know, go back a place. Bronze is a lovely colour and everything, but like, no thanks. But no, like, I'd like to at least maintain the silver. Like, I do have a 2 metre gap to close. And like, even though last year I jumped by like 4 metres, that was very kind of unusual, I suppose. And I just, it was just a really standout year. So I don't really have any like measurable goals to hit this year other than just be better. So whatever like result that gives me in the worlds is fine by me. But yeah, like at the end of the day, like I think after Rio, one of my friends is like, congrats, you're first loser. I'm like, wow. But yeah, that's so true.
Have you ever seen the Netflix documentary Losers?
No.
They like go through like, it's like 6 episodes, and they like interview teams that it would have lost like stupidly, like at different situations. And like one of them, she was a figure skater. She kept coming fourth. But 1 year she came second and she took off the medal and she walked out in the middle of it.
What?
Yeah, because she was just so upset. Like she was so cranky. But like there was loads of different like things at play. Like it's very, like she was, she was French, but she was born in Senegal or somewhere like that. So like she like thought a lot of it was like racial tension and thing like that. Like it could have been like proved, obviously, but to see her like standing there, take off the medal, like walk away, it was like one of the most dramatic things I've ever witnessed in my whole entire life. Gosh. And your own like the American standing there like waving like contently. But the other thing as well I've got to ask you, and I know we touched on it like at the start, but I think it's so funny we're going to have to bring it up, is your dad. And you were saying earlier, like PVD, very proud dad. And he, for years, I used to get letters and flowers in the door. They were happy birthday. They were congratulations. I think there was a Christmas one in the middle of it as well. Might have been a Valentine's one. Not too sure. Now that you've said your parents have divorced, I'm like, never know. Your dad used to, it used to just be signed to Joad, like wishing you all the best of your life. You're great. Keep doing what you're doing, from Fleur. And I used to be like, who the hell is Fleur? I used to get mocked relentlessly because everyone thought I had a secret admirer. Oh. And in 1 year, it was the discus dad. And I knew immediately, that's Liam's dad. How's your dad doing?
Oh, he's good. Yeah, he's so funny. Like, he's told me about that before. I'm like, dad's a bit weird, but like, you know, whatever. But yeah, no, actually, to be honest, like, yeah, like, he, like I was saying earlier, like, the, neither of them are like any kind of sporty type people, and they don't really dad's favorite thing is like western films, like on, they're on like 2 o'clock in the morning, like that's, you know, it's not really his thing, but you know, he reads the newspaper every day, so yeah, like he'd be asking me about you, and like again he's like, how's your friend? And I'm like, I haven't seen her in like 3 years.
People be asking me, they're like, oh, are you gonna go? I'm like, I don't know where she is in the world, like, you know, like let me be. Like,
I know, he's so funny, like, but yeah, he's kind of, he's very kind of like gentlemanly, like he's like he kind of like, he got me a pin there for Christmas, and it's, oh, Jess, what was it? It's like, oh, she believed she could, so she did.
Oh, that's lovely.
Just stuff like that. But I know he's dead funny, and like, yeah, he's always telling stories about people that would be asking after me. And like, you know, anytime I'm on the radio, like, I'll draft him a text, I'm like, yeah, I'm on at 6 or whatever. And the entire family will have been testing me, but in the next hour I'll be like, good luck.
Do you get like those like aunt messages, like, you know, you were great, love the makeup, you know, and you're like, no. I was on talking about something completely else, like, but thanks like, very much.
I had an RTE bit, I think, last week or week before, and yeah, like within half an hour, like the three aunties had texted me being like, well done, great, you look lovely.
You're like, thanks.
Yeah. Oh, it's dead funny. But yeah, no, dad's a special man, so he's yeah, no, I'll have to mention that to me. I'd be delighted.
I can't wait. Like, I hope they keep it in.
Might be a bit cringy, but
I think we need to meet up. I think we need to organize a meetup with your dad. He could be the next guest. Forget about you.
Oh, Jesus, you don't know, don't. My dad, like, you think I'm a talker, like, you'll know where I got it from if you met him properly. Like, oh, like, gosh, geez, he was around last night, and I was like, dad, I need to pack for my camp. And he's like, yeah. An hour later, he's still there, and I was like, look, dad, like, do you want to, like, come up to the room and we could just talk there, or just, like, go home?
Please,
like,
tell me he tells you unnecessary local goss. like so-and-so broke up or so-and-so yeah, had this or things like that.
Yeah, he kind of tells me what his friends are up to or like what my uncles are up to and stuff like, because he comes from a family of eight, so like there's always kind of goss going on there. So like, yeah, I hear about all this stuff, but it's quite funny. And actually, like, I saw a funny post on Facebook last night, and it was about like kind of funny things that moms do. And this is actually something mom does. And like, you know, she'd be telling you like goss. And then she's like, don't go posting that on Facebook now. And the post was like, yeah, mom, my first post in like the last 3 months is going to be about Susan's divorce. Like, you know? So yeah, it's they're all funny like that. They'd be telling me stuff, don't tell your friends now. And I'm like, I couldn't care less. Like, it's just, yeah.
I'll tell you, like, the next like Mother's Day, Father's Day, like they just need to like do a thing on your parents because they actually just sound legendary. I could totally see how like you got, you know, how you became the person that you are today. And I think it's obviously like really cool.
I'll
and,
tell you a funny one actually. Mom recently discovered like a Chromecast, you know, like streaming.
Yeah.
And so she's on my Netflix account, you know, Parasite. But she discovered The Crown. So like my mom's English, she's from England, but she's lived here kind of most of her life. And she started watching The Crown on like Thursday. So yeah, it's Saturday today. And she finished season two yesterday. And all evening she was talking to me with the Queen's voice. Like, I actually got a video of it and it's the funniest thing. And I'm like, Mom, stop. And she's just like, I shall not. Like, they're both just mental. Like, I mean, they don't keep me grounded. Like, you know, but it's a good thing. But yeah, they're both hilarious. Like,
you got to be a little bit mental, I suppose, to keep going in the way we're all going. See, it's been lovely to have you. I didn't expect our conversation to drift into secret admirers and everything else in between. Thanks very much for coming on the show, and we're looking forward to seeing how much you progress, and hopefully you'll be back again if you can squeeze us into your very tight schedule.
I know, I'd love to be back. Thanks for having me.
Cheers, thank you very much. That's the end of our interview with Niamh McCarthy on the Joanna Reardon podcast. I hope you enjoyed, and don't forget to tune in next week where we interview Cork chairperson Tracy Kennedy. And you also get to hear my impression at Theresa May, as I have a voice breakdown and I wasn't able to speak for the whole interview. But Tracy Kennedy's interview is one of the most interesting things you'll ever hear. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple, Spotify and listen on redextra.ie, and follow us on Twitter at JoannaWar_OX and at Big Red Bench. Let us know your thoughts and tune in next week. Cheerio.
The Big Red Bench.
Game on.
Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.